Amen. Amen. I want to start with this verse that we've been starting with in 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 1. It's the one we've been reading here quite a bit. And this will probably be the last time on this. Why can't I find 1 Corinthians? Here we are. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So not only does that cloud represent a baptism into something, okay, but it also represents a covering. It represents an overshadowing. And I was thinking of several things that got me into this covering or overshadowing. First of all, I was thinking again about that man quite a long time ago. It must have been 10 or 15 years ago. He asked me who we were, what was our fellowship, and then he asked me, well, who is your covering? And I said, well, Jesus Christ is our covering. No, 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 that's not what I mean. I mean, who? What organization? Who is your covering? And again, I know what, I begin to understand what he was asking for. But our answer is still, it is Jesus Christ. It is not a man. It is not an organization. And I believe the man was a little baffled by that and perhaps thought, well, you must be some kind of rebellious group that will not come under any covering or any overshadowing or anything like that. So I thought, well, thought of that. And then about a week ago, I was over in the post office, which is really next door to our house. And there was a woman came in there, and she looked like a Mennonite woman. And she had a little covering on the back of her head, had her hair all done up and covered like a Mennonite woman. And I said to her, I said, are you a Mennonite? And she said, no, I'm not a Mennonite. I said, well, what are you a part of? And she named some little church down at the other end of town. And I said, so you're not Mennonite? No, she said, I'm not Mennonite. They've got too many rules. Well, I thought, well, you're still keeping all the rules. I mean, you wear that little covering and you do all the things that, in fact, most of the Mennonite women I know aren't even wearing that anymore. So I thought, well, Lord, what is there about this covering? What is there about this overshadowing? Where do men come to an understanding of what this should or shouldn't be? So I went into the Word and I got started in Genesis, and I found the very first example of covering was something that God did. Okay, and I'll read you the verse. It's in Genesis chapter 3. And of course, it's after Adam and Eve fell into sin. And I'll just read a few verses here. Okay, and we'll start in verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Well, of course, man was made from dust, so we know where Satan gets his life from. He can't get it from God anymore. He gets it from whatever he can get out of man. Whatever sin he can get from man, whatever he can get from man to fall into sin. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, we've had plenty of bruising of our heel, but thank God the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, has bruised his head. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So we have sorrow for the man, sorrow for the woman, and we just live in a very sorrowful state of world. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thy return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now, what the Lord did here is he covered them. And why did he cover them? Because they had exposed their nakedness in their sin. And what he did here was with an animal skin, and I believe it's the very first type of the covering of the blood, because these animals had to die in order for that skin to be made available to cover the shame of Adam and Eve. And so we see that he covers us with his blood. The blood covers our sin, even today in type. Now, there's two things here that I can see in this covering or overshadowing. One is that it protects us, covers us, covers our from being exposed. And secondly, that it is something that keeps us overshadowed under him in protection as well. And we come under the dominion of that which is overshadowing us. So I want to find a few other verses that speak to this. Let's go to Psalm 91. Okay, everybody's familiar with Psalm 91, but let's look at in particular the part about the covering that's mentioned here in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, here it uses the term shadow. When the verse that we read from 1 Corinthians talks about the shadow of the cloud that covered them, and we understand it was both a natural covering as well as a spiritual covering, because it really protected them from that terrible heat of the desert and allowed them to survive in that place. So here he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, brethren, as we come into this end time, this secret place is going to be the only place that we will be able to survive, because of what's going to come upon all the earth. There is no place on earth that will be exempt from this terrible tribulation that is coming. So we will have to be, again, under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee. Here's the word covering again. Amen. The shadow, the cover. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, under his wings shalt thou trust. When Jesus spoke in Matthew 23, and let me find that verse here. When he spoke against Jerusalem, said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," let me find the verse here, and then I won't be misquoting it. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." So Jesus is saying his last word to Jerusalem, his last warning to Jerusalem before they came to take him, his last word, and then his last word, the end time message to his disciples. "I would like to take you under my wings. I'd like to overshadow you. I'd like to protect you. I'd like to put you in a place that you will not be harmed or hurt in any way." But they would not allow him. And in the verse before that, he's telling them that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechiah, Zacharias, the son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple of the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." Now he was speaking a specific word to a specific generation, okay? 40 years from the day that Jesus spoke that, the Romans came in and totally destroyed Jerusalem. It was a 3.5 year siege. Isn't that interesting? Took 3.5 years for Titus. Actually, I believe it was his father that started the siege. And you ought to go and look that up and understand what really happened to the city of Jerusalem. Jesus spoke both a natural warning and a spiritual warning. He said, when you begin to see the armies surround Jerusalem, head for the hills, you know, don't remain anymore here, but come up to a higher place. And of course, he was speaking to our generation as well. But there was a specific word for that particular generation. Brethren, you know that the word of God comes on more than one level. It comes on at least three levels. There's the natural level. There's the natural people that were living at his time in his generation, 40 years from that day. He said, I would have liked to have brought you under my wings. The Romans would not have had to come and destroy Jerusalem if they had allowed him. But he said, and ye would not. So he wanted to bring them under his overshadowing. Now, let's go to another verse here in Psalm 57. Let's go to Psalm 57. And he speaks again of this covering. Let's see, what verse are we after here? Psalm 57, verse 1, okay? "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." Now, we're not just talking about a natural covering here. We're talking about something that we need for our soul, something that protects our soul. Brethren, our soul can be sorely wounded. Amen. Sorely wounded by the enemy, sorely wounded by other people that come against us. Amen. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. Until these calamities, in other words, there's a time that it comes to an end. It isn't going to last forever. What is that verse in Isaiah? Isn't it Isaiah 26? This is the one that we had written out and posted on the refrigerator. Isaiah 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. David said, until the calamities are overpast, until the indignation is overpast. Amen. So this hiding ourselves in the secret chambers is also a way of saying that we're going to come under his overshadowing. Now that we're in Isaiah, let's find a couple of other verses here in Isaiah. Isaiah 30, I think, has a good, let's just turn over another page here. Well, it's actually two pages. Now here's an example of covering that is not a covering of God. It is the covering of man. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. So there is a covering of man, brethren, that is not the covering of God. It is not the spirit of God. And when man make organizations and make plans and this type of thing, and they set up their hierarchies and they set up their ministries that overshadow and dominate other brethren, and we are meant by the Lord to be a nation of priests, not just one or two priests that we all come under the dominion of. But here, God is saying through Isaiah to his people that you've taken on another covering. You've taken another trust, something else that you trust in besides me. Let's go on. That walk to go down into Egypt. In other words, now they're going to look to the world for their covering. They're going to look to the world for their security. And, you know, there's many, and perhaps even in my time, at one time, I thought, well, maybe we can do something in the natural to protect us during this time of indignation, this time of tribulation. So they go down to Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. Amen. How many times do we make decisions? Do we ask at the mouth of the Lord? Lord, is this the way I should go? Should I make this move? Should I make this investment? Should I marry this person, Lord? Amen. We ask at the mouth of the Lord. Amen. By the way, when I was contemplating marriage to Rita, I said, Lord, is this okay? Can I go ahead with this? And all he said was, she's your type. No, she's your kind. She's your kind. Brethren, we need to marry our own kind. Even in the church, there are different kinds. There are different kinds of, there are sheep and there are sheep. There are cattle and there are cattle, it said in Isaiah. Amen. So we need to find our own kind. They go down to Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. There's that word shadow, the shadow of Egypt. Amen. The shadow of Egypt, brethren, is going to falter. It's going to fail. It's not going to be there when we need it. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and your trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Let's go to Isaiah 51. because we have another verse here about that. Let me find it. Here's 51, and it's going to be verse 16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. So there's the Lord using the analogy of his hand. We're under his hand. Now, if we're under the hand of the Lord, we're under his control, aren't we? His hand is on it. Where else did the Lord talk about being under the shadow of his hand? Let me look at Exodus 33. Okay. Exodus 33. And he's talking to Moses. And Moses wanted to see him. He wanted to see his face. And what did the Lord say to Moses? Verse 22. Well, let's go back. 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. Amen. He had tasted of it, but he wanted to see it. And he said, this is the Lord speaking now, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. So he's going to have his goodness and his name. Now, what is his name? His name is his nature. In other words, I'm going to let my nature pass before you. Amen. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. In other words, I'm going to give you some grace. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. How many of you know we need mercy and we need the grace of God? Amen. You know, I foolishly, when I lost Sister Janet, I foolishly said to the Lord, why didn't you leave things the way they were? Why did you have to do this? And he said to me, I will give you my mercy. And I said, no, he said, I will give you my grace. And I foolishly answered, and I said, well, if you'd left things the way they were, I wouldn't need your grace. And as soon as I said that, it smote me. Oh, my conscience just smote me. And I went before the Lord, and I must have wept for about an hour before the Lord, asking him to forgive me of such a foolish thing as saying that I didn't need his grace, I didn't need his mercy. Amen. But he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But then he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man, amen, for thou shall no man see me and live. Amen. Is this why perhaps, who was it, Samson's father, I believe it was, or was it his mother? Anyway, the angel revealed to them that Samson was going to be born to them. And I believe it was them that was so shocked and surprised and said, oh, I've seen the face of God and I've lived. Well, they didn't really see the face in the manner that he's talking to Moses here about, or they wouldn't have lived. Amen. And the Lord said, there is a place by me. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it came to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So the Lord is saying to Moses, listen, the glory has such a power to it. I don't know what can we liken this glory. On the one hand, maybe we can say the radiation. This thing is so powerful. The radiation coming from this will just fry you. The power of this light is so intense that it would burn you up if I didn't shield you. I was praying to the Lord one day. We'd come home from church and went to our home, and I just felt that the Lord wasn't finished. I said to my wife, "Sister, the Lord isn't finished. He still wants to talk to us." And so we got down on our knees and got down before the Lord. And I sensed the glory of the Lord coming toward us. And I said, "Oh Lord, you're coming in great glory, and I know we won't be able to take it. I want to hear from you. We want to see you. But Lord, you're going to have to do something about it." And so he turned down the glory. He shielded it somehow, and he came in, and then he began to talk about things that he was bringing into our life at that time. Amen. So here he says, "And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cleft like a cave of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." In other words, the power of the Lord coming straight on toward us is something that we wouldn't be able to take. But to see him retreating, where the glory is kind of moving away, that's something that we could see. So he's talking about covering, being under the covering of his hand, even being protected from his power and his glory. Amen. Did I look at Psalm 57? Let me go to Psalm 57. I'm not sure I did. Did I? Who's got a good memory here? We don't think so. Okay. Psalm 57. Oh yeah, I read that. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." There's another one in Exodus. Exodus 13, I believe it is. Exodus 13. And some of these we may have read recently. Verse 21. "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Now, as I'm thinking about, let me see if I got all these verses here. Let me come here's another one, Matthew 23. I read that. That's when he said to Jerusalem, "I would like to cover you as a hen covers his chicks." In Ruth chapter 3, and that's the song that we sang this morning. Let me find Ruth chapter 3 here. We see that Ruth had obeyed Naomi. Ruth was seeking to be taken care of as a wife is taken care of by a husband. And she followed Naomi's advice and went down to the threshing floor at night. And apparently Boaz was going to spend the night here at the threshing floor. It was some kind of a little tradition that they had, that they kind of celebrated the last of the threshing. And what verse are we looking for here? Let me go to verse 6 here. Verse 5, and she said to her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." So she's taking the advice of her mother-in-law. And she went down into the floor that and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay herself down. Amen. So, yeah, Ruth 2, we're getting to it. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she said, answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt or thy mantle over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman." So here's the example now of the bride of Christ. Okay? She's come to the bridegroom. Amen. And there comes an hour. This is going to happen, brethren. There comes an hour called midnight. And at midnight, he's going to be stirred. At midnight, Jesus Christ is going to be stirred. And he's going to say, "Oh my, it's time for me to do something. I see that my bride is going to be swallowed up and destroyed if I don't make my move now. And I need to make a claim upon her now. And I mean, I need to take her. And I need to make her mine. And I need to make her a wife completely and fully. She's been my betrothed. And now it's time to consummate the whole affair." And so at midnight, brethren, is the darkest hour. We're approaching midnight very fast right now, as Brother Titus, I believe, mentioned in his prayer about the falling away is becoming so much greater today than we've ever seen it before. Not only the world, but the church as well, falling away, getting further and further. And so, who are you? Who is at my feet? In what position do we come to the Lord? We come to his feet to bow ourselves, to submit ourselves in a posture of submission to before his feet. And she's asking to be covered. So we, the church, the true church of God, the body of Christ, if you please, the bride of Christ, we're saying, "Lord, we're coming, midnight is coming. And we're not going to make it unless we can be under the shadow of the Almighty. So cast your mantle over us." It has to be your mantle, not any other mantle, not any man, not anyone else. But Lord, our covering has to be of you. So who is your covering? Our covering is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our covering is our nearest kinsman, Boaz, the nearest kinsman, the one that has the right to lay the claim to us. Amen. And so we see the example of Ruth. Let me just take another verse here, and I don't want to make it the main thing here, but there's this other verse in 1 Corinthians 11 that I think has been very, very misunderstood by the church. Let's see, 1 Corinthians, here we are, chapter 11. Now, Paul is talking about husband and wife here. So let me just take a few verses. And verse 3, I guess, it is where we'll start with this. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now, I grew up in a church that believed that this was a literal covering that had to be over the woman's head. That time that I went where are they having the war here? Ukraine, I'm sorry. Went to Ukraine, and that big Pentecostal church, the minister would not let Oksana translate for me unless she was wearing a hoska. Is that the same word in Czech? The hoska? No, it's a different word. She had to have a scarf over her head. Well, you have a word that's very similar, don't you, Sonia? Okay. Amen. All right. So I said to Oksana, I said, they're not going to let me talk, and I don't want anybody else to translate except you. And I tell you, she was a very good translator. I mean, she got the spirit and everything else that you were saying. I don't know if you ever met Oksana, but I tell you, she was a saint. She really was a saint of God, sent by God, perfect translator. So she put it on and she translated. Now, what this is saying, see, they took it in the natural. It said she has to have a natural covering on her head. Well, it says very clearly that her head is her husband. The head of the woman is the man. It's her husband. Amen? So what has to be covered is her head. In other words, her husband, her man, has to be covered. And his head is what? His head is Christ. So his head covered is that he has Christ over him. Now, it says every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head. Well, Christ can't be covered. His head is Christ. He has to be covered by Christ, but Christ is not covered by any other authority over him. There is no order that is higher than Christ. And that's what that's saying. So we're talking about, I just thought I'd throw this in here because it's part of the discussion here of what this covering is all about. Now, I have a few more. Let me go to Luke chapter 1. The brother was reading from the very beginning here this morning, and I thought he was going to read my passage, but he took it somewhere else to Simeon and Anna. But I want to go before that. So, brother, you knew that we were going to go into Luke. So let's take it here. Let me find the right verses here. Luke 1:35. Okay. But I want to go a little before that. Let's come to the part. Let's come to the... we finish with Zacharias now. Elizabeth is expecting a child. And verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee. Wasn't it Gabriel that was speaking to Zechariah? Or doesn't it say? It just says the angel of the Lord. Well, it could have been Gabriel, but who was sent to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Well, wouldn't any of you be troubled if suddenly an angel came to you and started saying things like that to you? Well, what is all this about? Why are you speaking that way to me? And she knew he was an angel. Amen. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Well, that's good news, but what's all that mean? Amen. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Well, we say that in English. It might be Yeshua in Hebrew, but whatever. He understands. He understands our language. Amen. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. In other words, he's going to be the Son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, even a greater throne than David. Amen. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Isn't that good news? It's not going to come to an end. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary knew how these things worked. She knew that she couldn't conceive without a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. So who is going to plant the seed here? The angel or the Holy Ghost? Amen? Not the messenger. The messenger is just bringing the word. The Holy Ghost does the job. Amen? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. There's that word, overshadow. Overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now here's the key. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And after the angel departed and Mary submitted herself to the Holy Ghost, then the conception took place. Not by the angel, not by the messenger, amen, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, you see, the minister of the Word of God, any minister, is not the husband of the church. But some take that position. He's not the minister of the church. He's not the husband of any woman in the church. In other words, amen? So the womb of the church is the human soul. And this is where God wants to plant the seed of Christ, that we would come forth as Christ. Amen? Look at Revelation chapter 12. You know this verse very well. and see that the present situation of the church is, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. This is a spiritual picture, of the present day church, the true church. Amen. The church that will bring forth at midnight a man child. Amen. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Now it doesn't say overshadowed, but you look up that word and it means that she is totally enveloped. I looked up some of these overshadowing words. It means almost as if you took molten metal and you poured it, and it completely encased what it was covering. There was not left anything that was not covered. So this woman is covered, amen, overshadowed with the sun. What is the sun? The sun is Jesus Christ. Amen. The sun is God. Amen. He's the day star. So this is a good woman. I mean, she's in a good place. I tell you, she's completely covered. She looks like the sun herself because of that covering of the sun. Amen. And the moon under her feet. So there's also a church. There's a woman church, a moon church that's under her feet. She's come above that old order, and she's come into a new order in Christ. She's received the word of God. She's received the message, and she's being changed. There's something in the womb of her soul. Amen. Is being, well, in a way it's going through travail also. Oh Lord, I need to be more like Christ. Oh Lord, I need deliverance. Oh Lord, help me to overcome this thing. And there is a travail, there is a cry. Amen. The travailing woman that has been a barren woman for so long, and now she's going to bring forth spiritually. Amen. Even as the natural woman desires, even as Hannah desired to bring forth in the natural. But there was something spiritual also about what Hannah was going to bring forth when she brought forth Samuel, the man of God. So you see, this is all pictures, spiritual pictures here. Amen. And under her feet, amen, the moon, and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. In other words, she had divine government appointed to her crown. Amen. So let me take you to a couple of more examples of the overshadowing here. Let me see that I've got them all here. In the Transfiguration, there was also a covering and an overshadowing. Let's go to some of those verses here. Matthew 17. And you can, it reads the same in just about every one of the versions. I can read them to you. Matthew 17, in verse 5. Okay. Let me go back to verse the beginning. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Amen. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. In other words, he wanted to build some, what are those Catholics call those little things that they, little Mary in a bathtub? What? Shrine. Yeah. He wanted three shrines, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Amen. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." In other words, we don't need any other shrines to any other men. You know, even the world builds all kinds of shrines. They name a boulevard after a man. Amen. They name an airport after a man. They name a city after a man. These are shrines, basically, to man. I tell you what, I can't wait until the kingdom of God, when we can get rid of some of those shrines that are named after men. Some of these churches named after men. Amen? Well, let me go on. "In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. Now, I can read that in Mark and in Luke. Let me read it in Mark and in Luke. Mark 9, verse 7. It says, for he wist not what to say, for they were, oh, here's where he said, make a tabernacle. Peter answered, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah." For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. Peter had a habit of saying something when he didn't know what to say. Do you ever do that? Don't know what to say, so you say something. Well, Peter should have said nothing. Amen. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Now, I'm going to read it in Luke, so we have the whole picture. Luke 9, 34. Okay. Here's again, we're in verse 33. "And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias,' not knowing what he said." Amen. If you don't know what you're saying, don't say it. Amen. "While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud." There was a fear came over them. Amen. "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.' And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen." Now, I have one other verse. We may be a little short today. Let me find where it is here. It's a question that Judas, not Iscariot, had asked him. Oh, here it is. In John 14, John 14, and verse 23, but let me go back a little bit further. We're talking about an overshadowing, but you're going to say, Brother Mark, what does this have to do with the overshadowing? But let me go back a little bit and maybe we'll see it. Let me start in verse 8 here, okay? Well, maybe back a little further. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. We'll start in the beginning here. We've got time. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, actual buildings, construction, wood and stone, houses, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. What are we? Are we not dwelling places of the Lord? Are we not temples of the Lord? So in the Father's house, amen, are many dwelling places. We are the dwelling place of the Lord. So, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Okay, these people that have had these visions of heaven and claim they had a little apartment there, or they had a house there, and they had certain furniture in their house and certain design on the walls of their house. This is not what Jesus is talking about here. Amen? This is not the hope. The hope that we have is that the dwelling place will be Christ, will be dwelling in us, in the Father's house. Amen? I go to prepare a place, amen, for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, Jesus is talking about not, he didn't say where I'm going to be, that you will be also. He's saying where I am right now. Where was he? He was in the Father. He was in the fullness of the Father. He was empowered by the Father God with wisdom and power and all the goodness of God. Where I am, the way I'm walking, the way I'm living right now is where you can be. This is the thing I'm preparing for you. In other words, I'm putting the seed, amen, of the Word of God, I'm putting the seed of Christ into the womb of the soul, which is the church. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas didn't know. Amen. He said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Amen. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way, brethren, to come to God. There is no other name whereby we may be saved, except through Jesus. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. In other words, if you've seen me, all right, let's go on. And then Philip got involved, and Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. What did Philip expect to see? What are we going to see in heaven of the Father? What are we going to see? What do you think you're going to see? What are you going to see on that throne when you get to heaven? You know what? What I believe, we're going to see Jesus. Why? And Jesus said to them, "Have I been so long with you, and thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Now you might think, well, there'll be a bright light. You know, there'll be some kind of a radiating light that'll be on the throne. I don't know, maybe there will, but it'll be Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen? And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now, brethren, when you read the Bible, you're reading what God the Father said. He said it through the mouth of his Son that came forth from Mary, the seed that he planted in the Virgin Mary, brought forth the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. Doesn't that say that in the beginning of John? Let's go back and read that. In the beginning was the Word. I like that verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. So Jesus is the Word. His Word is the Word of the Father. And this is why, brethren, I don't want to mess with the Word of God. I want to know exactly what God said. I get Rita to read to me sometimes, because I like to hear her reading the Word. And she finished Revelation, I think it was last night. And I love this word in the very end of Revelation. Let me just read the last few verses. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Amen? You don't have to measure it out. Just drink all you want. Amen? And "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book." I would be afraid to make much adjustment in this book. If it's not in the original Greek, I don't want it. Amen? So I fear for these people that have made many new versions of the Bible, because whatever God says about the book of Revelation, I believe is what he says about the whole book. Not just the book of Revelation, but the whole Bible. Now let me come back to where we are in John 14. For just a little bit. Amen. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me, the words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. So now Jesus is saying, the Father is dwelling in me. And in the Father's house are many dwelling places. That means our soul will be in that kingdom, and he will dwell in our soul. That soul, amen, is the womb where the seed of the word, the seed of the word will be planted by the Holy Spirit. You can't get that word planted in you without the power of the Holy Spirit quickening it to you. You will not see it. You will not understand it. It will make no sense to you, absolutely no sense, without the quickening of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you have to just see the works, if that's what it takes to make you believe, you know, see me raise the dead, see me open the eyes of the blind, see me cure leprosy, see the works of the Father, shouldn't that be enough to convince you that this is the power of the Father God? Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And his going unto the Father means what? That he sends as a replacement the Holy Spirit. How will we do? Maybe you as an individual won't do greater works, but you as a body of Christ, you as a church, as a worldwide church, are going to do far more than Jesus as an individual did in his 3.5 years here on earth, because he went to the Father and sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to you. And whatsoever ye shall ask, listen to this, listen to this. Doesn't this give you faith? And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, what does that mean? Ask in his name. Lord, give me $1 million. I ask in the name of Jesus. No. No, I can say those words, but I am not asking in the name of Jesus. I don't need $1 million. I thought about it one day. I thought, what if I went and bought a ticket, a lottery ticket, and lo and behold, I won close to $1 billion. I would be in deep trouble. I wouldn't know what to do with it. People would be coming to me, trying to rob me, trying to steal, begging. Oh, it would be a terrible burden. No, what it means, whatever you ask in my name, that means you get into his nature. Christ in me, me in him. I'm in Christ now, okay? What is the nature of Christ? What does Christ want? What is the will? What is his will for me? I will ask that, and you know what? It will be done. What is his plan for me? Find out what he wants. Get into his name. Ask in his name, in his nature, and he will do it. He wants that to be done in our life, brethren. Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, there's another thing about it. You're going to have to keep his law. His law is commandments. Amen. In other words, you're going to have to obey him. Amen. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, not temporarily. You know, there's people that have come to the Holy Spirit, got the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can go out and sin after you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? You can walk away. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Brethren, we're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to. I want to be in that place for where whatever I ask in his name, he's going to do it. Amen? Now, he's going to give power, isn't he? I shall give power to my two witnesses, and they shall testify, and they shall do thus and thus for 3.5 years. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why can't they receive it? Because they don't have the quickening of the Holy Spirit. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you. Now I'm getting closer here to this verse that I want, but we're coming down to it. Amen. He that hath my, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, the Lord is saying that that day comes now. We're in that day. And we can know that we're in him and he's in us. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now here's the question. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, not the other Judas, the man named Jude. This is the Jude that wrote the book of Jude, the little book, just before Revelation. All right? Jude said to him, amen, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not the world? How will we be privileged to have that manifestation that those sinners in the sea of the world will not know? How will we know you? How will you manifest to us? Amen? Are we going to see a shining light in our house or some shadow that moves around from room to room? No, that's not the way it is. No. Not like that. Not a manifestation that you see with your eyes or hear with your ears. In other words, the kingdom of God is not something that we see with our eyes. Amen? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Our abode is what? What's the abode? It's our home. We will make our home with him. In my Father's house are many abodes. The word mansion is probably not a very good translation there. It makes people think of buildings and made out of stone and fancy windows and all that. A better word is dwelling places, mansion, dwelling places. Amen? We will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But let's go on. We got a little time here yet. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. See, you can't even learn unless you have the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can't learn the meaning of the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. Amen. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, things you've forgotten. He'll bring it to your mind. Whatever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now he started off the first verse, let not your heart be troubled. And here he says it again, let not your heart be troubled. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. See, Jesus is here as a human man. He's manifest himself among us, but he's saying, what I laid aside in heaven is far greater than what I'm manifesting to you right here. And that which is left in heaven, which I left behind there in the glory, far greater than what you see of me with your eyes right now. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You know, I like this verse. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Can we say the same thing? The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing. Why did the prince of this world have nothing in him? There was nothing in him that the prince of this world could attach to. There was no lust that the prince of this world had to offer him that would hook him. There was no wealth. There was no power. There was no, what could you possibly think of that a man would want that had no power on him? You know, I think, when I think of this verse, I think of, do you know what I mean by Velcro? Velcro is, they make you get some clothes, you put them together, sneakers, shoes, you bring the thing together. One of the parts, if you look at it, is little hooks. The other part is something like a piece of wool or something. And what happens when you put these hooks on this little piece of wool, and it hooks everything? Well, if you have no wool, and these little hooks come and it's perfectly smooth, it has nothing. So Satan comes with all his little hooks, and he tries to attach them to me. But my soul is perfectly smooth. There's no little woolly pieces for him to attach to. He tried this when he tempted, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Do this, do that, throw yourself down, worship me. I'll give you all, you know, I'll give you all the world. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. No, it doesn't interest me. You know, it is written. It doesn't interest me, because I'm representing the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God shall never end. Amen. So, hallelujah. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. Well, I think I've shared what I wanted to share. We started off with covering and overshadowing, and brought us into into the indwelling. of the Lord, the result of that overshadowing of Mary, brought forth the word, Jesus Christ. And brethren, man cannot overshadow man. A husband cannot be the overshadow of his wife. There's an order in God, an order in the house. You know, the salesman used to come to the house and say, I'd like to speak to the head of the household. You know, it's almost the man doesn't even dare say that anymore, because nobody knows what's what anymore. But anyway, I want to be under the shadow of the Almighty. And we need to know that we'll come into that place, and he will be in us, and we will be in him. And brethren, all this talk, all this kingdom message that we're talking about is the food that we're going to feed on, that's going to prepare us for that time that we will need this more than we need anything else in this world. All this word is to prepare us for what's coming. God bless you. I'm going to leave the recording on, and you can just come in here on with this now. Amen. Well, let me just pause it here. I'm not going to turn it off. I'm just going to pause. All right, go ahead.
Matthew 17, at verse 8, where he says, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. What the Lord is telling me there is that the difficulties we experience with men is much more on the fact that we do not lift up our eyes. So that is the clue. If we lift up our eyes, we will see Jesus only and not men. And now in the churches, where people have men, like you said, somebody was asking you, who is your covering? That man has not lifted up his eyes. God is helping us to a measure to lift up our eyes and begin to see Jesus. But he is saying that we should lift up our eyes. Just like the scripture says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, it says, lift up your eyes, for your salvation draweth nigh. Again, it says that men's hearts shall fail them in looking upon the things that shall come upon the world. In other words, God is telling us, when things begin to come upon the world, we should not look upon them, but we should lift up our eyes. When we do, we will see Jesus only. That will help us so that our hearts will not fail. We remember Gehazi came out in the morning and saw the army of Syria. I hope it's Syria. The army of Syria. And he said, alas, my father, what shall we do? And the servant of God prayed, said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. He opened his eyes and he saw that the situation is actually that the army of Syria is surrounded by the hosts of heaven, and that they were safe and secure. We are safe and secure in the Lord We need to just ask God to open our eyes, cause us to look up. When we lift up our eyes, we will see no man but Jesus only. Amen.
Amen.
Mark, also, yeah. It says in here that he also wrote the book of Jude. Jude, not Iscariot, was the brother or half-brother of Jesus, was also the writer of the book of Jude.
Yes. Yes, yeah, that's what we've discovered. Yeah, that's good. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. Our eyes are not going to behold man in these last days, brethren. Our eyes are going to behold Jesus.
Mark, I just wanted to say thank you for the word today. It was just a real blessing.
Mark, when you were saying that the overshadowing has many, many different names or ways of being described. I was wondering in when Paul was talking in the book of Romans, where it says we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, you know, at the where we are declared righteous. Is that not kind of a overshadowing also?
I'm sure we would have to be overshadowed by the blood of Jesus in a symbolic way in order to be declared righteous, Larry. Mm-hmm. Because our old natural dust man is not very righteous. Our righteousness is in him. So again, yeah, the overshadowing principle is throughout the whole world, the whole word. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not mentioned, it's there.
Hmm. So I think that was Paul's way of describing this overshadowing, and it's only by faith that we receive that.
You know, but man has taken this overshadowing thing to that they lift up their eyes and they see man. Hmm. And this is a corruption of the overshadowing. This thing about Mary, being Mary's conception, is the angel did not overshadow her. The angel did not plant that seed. Amen? And the messenger, the ministry, is not the planter of the seed. The minister is only the one who brings the word, and the Holy Spirit has to take and plant that seed, and it cannot be by the overshadowing of man, because men do that and all they end up producing is more of man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is what's gone wrong with this whole church system. For thousands of years, it's been man overshadowing and not Christ. Man has to learn to step aside after he's brought the word. After the angel brought that word to Mary, he had to step aside as soon as she said, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me." And then the angel was gone and he didn't do the business. And Mary had to receive that by faith and by her word of submission to the Lord.
When you were speaking about the word, I kept thinking about the word overshadow. And it came to me in a verse that the Lord had given me in a song about to feel the presence, Lord, to know you are here with me. This is my joy. Lord, overshadow me, that when I enter in the Holy of Holies, all flesh is left behind, and I know only you.
Yes, amen. Remember that next week, Patty, and maybe we can sing that. Well, I guess we've come to a close then. You know, I like it when somebody in Brother Edie's house prays and asks a blessing. He and his wife have both got a very powerful gift of prayer, and I appreciate it, brother. Could we have a prayer from your house to close our meeting? You have to unmute first, brother.
Unmute yourself.
There we go.
Okay. Are you hearing me now?
Yes.
Okay. Bless you. Greetings, Sister Lucy is not with me today. She is away in Nigeria for an official engagement. She arrived yesterday or so. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. You love us so much, so much, dear Lord. Each time we gather, you give us food to eat, dear Lord, in spite of all the beasts and all the harassments of the enemy, in spite of the fact that the earth is reeling to and fro like a drunken man. Lord, our bread has been short, oh God. He said that in the world we'll have tribulation. We should be of good cheer, for you overcome the world. Lord, in spite of all the famine that hit, Lord, the Israel and the world at that time, you set your prophet and you sent him portions, even from a raven. From a raven, you sent portion. You sent waters. When the brooks dried up, you sent a widow. Lord, you make provision for your people. I will thank you because at this time, you are providing for us. We appreciate you so much for this time, Lord God of fellowship, oh God, for the bread that has strengthened our bones, Lord, the oil that you have sent that is making our faces to shine. I will bless you, dear Lord. We are asking that this word that we have received today, it will take root downwards, oh God. Let our roots go deep down, oh God, and hit the aquifers, hit the source of waters underneath, even hit the rock, Yehoshua. I'm praying that there will be strength in us, oh God, to draw this water, that it will work in us. Let these words work in us, dear Lord, and let it bring forth fruit, oh God. For you said that it is not the hearers of the word that are blessed, but the doers of the word. But we believe that the power of the word that you are giving us today is able to work within us and cause us to do, oh God, Your word comes with an ability, Lord, to do the thing that asks us to do. I will receive it at this hour. Lord, when that seed got into Mary, it began to change even her physical body inside. At the end of the day, Jesus was brought forth. We pray that these words also, Lord, we say like Mary, be it unto us according to thy word, O God. Every word you have spoken, O God, today to us, that we will remain under the covering, O God, of the Almighty, dear Lord, that it will be unto us as you have spoken today. We bless you, our Father. We bless you that as we receive, that it's going to become a well that will spring up, O God. Lord, when you give bread, your bread multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. It never finishes, O God, as we eat, as we chew, O God. Let this word continue to expand and expand in our souls until every part of our soul is filled up with you. Lord, we bless you. O God, bless you for the week ahead of us, O God, asking that you will lead us not into temptation according to your word, and you will deliver us from every evil, O God. Deliver us from the snares of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence, from every trap of the enemy. We'll receive deliverance, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for healing us, O God. Thank you. Last week, we were praying for our sister who was going for a checkup. We believe that checkup, O God, that nothing went amiss. I will just rejoice in you. Hallelujah. We just bless you, O God. Anyone that is ailing in his body, we're asking that, Lord, your touch will go forth. It will bring forth healing and deliverance. We pray for our sister, Glory, who mentioned that she's done with her master's degree and that she has, by head where she's been given permit to stay in the U.S. We're asking that as she gets into the new phase of her life, that Lord God, your presence, O God, will be with her, O God. He said to Abraham, go to that mountain that I will show you. Father, we pray that, Lord, her eyes will be open, O God, to see where, O God, you want her to go. What next you want her to do, dear Lord? Lord, let your leading be her portion in the days to come. We just bless you, our Father. Let your name be glorified. Yahushua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.